Yeah, it's a really cool concept. We got one guy who went to the men's room, so
I figured. That's all right. I just turned on the recording, so just be careful what you say. I was in with Eric, and Eric says, "You got to turn that. You got to get rid of this, that last set of statements."
Well, if it's anything like the previous years, they don't edit them.
Yeah. Well.
Well, gentlemen, let's jump into this. Let's open in prayer. Heavenly and gracious Father, we just want to thank you. We want to thank you for this evening. We want to thank you for all the information that you're sharing with us. And Father, we want to thank you for all that we are learning and acquiring this evening. Father, thank these men for being here, and thank everyone for giving up their time for this midnight madness. Because, Father, we know that many of you have things, other things to do, but you're here. Father, we just ask that these men are not listening to Jim, that you're doing nothing but using Jim as a vehicle to share your information and your word. Your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Gentlemen, one of the communications, there's a couple facets to it. Okay? One of them is speaking. But what's interesting is, in many cases, more important is the ability to listen. Now, we as men, especially those of us who are married, we for years have been challenged by our wives on this very subject. But we're going to look at some things tonight. What kind of communicator are you? Is this your idea of having coffee? With friends?
Oh, boy.
Right. I've seen it.
Yep.
How about this one? Out to dinner. Oh, God. You know? And how about this one? A nice date. This is where we are. You know? So, you know, what it does is It shows how we're communicating now, you know? So, let me ask the question. How would you rate your listening skills? Think about it. You know? If you want, write it on your guide, your answer, your response. Something to think about. And we'll do this now. And see by the time you're done if you still agree. Okay? So, question. How often do you consciously think about listening actively? Do you really think about it? Or does it just happen naturally? Or not happen naturally? Do you ever interrupt conversation? Someone's talking. Okay? Is there a particular situation in which you do it? Is it a habit? Or do you do it sparingly? In general, what is your opinion of people you notice or you consider active listeners? What are the traits that they have? You know, how do they do that?
They're very slow to speak, very attentional.
Okay.
Eye contact.
Mm-hmm. Eye contact.
They come across as really caring.
Yes. Like they're interested in what you have to say.
Exactly.
Yeah. When you listen, do you lean forward, look directly in the person's talking, showing your face that you're actively interested in what they have to say? Do you do that? If you want to improve your listening skills, what is one thing? What is the one thing you think you would need to do to start? Now, some of us might have many things we need to do, but take and think of one thing that might help. Now, listening has a biblical foundation. It's in the Bible. No? For example, but let's talk about the process. Okay? The Bible tells us, confess our sins to each other. James 5:16. Our part is everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. He who answers before listening, that is his folly and his shame. You think about that person around you who jumps in, but before you even finish making your point. And sometimes if they allowed you, you would answer their question. You would have had their question answered. The heart of discerning acquires knowledge. The ears of the wise seek it out. You want to take the time to hear what some others have to say. What not to do. Do not judge when you're listening. If you spend too much time judging, you're not really hearing what they have to say, aren't you? You're distracted about what they're saying. What to do. Truly care. Be genuine concerned. Have equal concern for each other. 1 Corinthians. What not to do? Do not emotionally react. I mean, how many times have you ever been in a situation where you say something to someone, their response is, "You did what?" What's your natural tendency? To shut down. You're not going to go further. But if we do that to someone else, they're going to do the same thing. They're going to shut down. Empathize. You know, one part is suffer, every part suffers. One part is honored, every part rejoices with it. So yes, the idea is the now, one of the things that's really important is many people see that, and it's misinterpreted in many cases. It's misinterpreted as thinking empathize means agree. You can empathize with someone without agreeing. All empathy is putting yourself in that person's shoes. trying to view it from their perspective. So even to the point where you might respond by saying, understanding your perspective or where you're coming from, I see how you feel. You didn't say you agree, but you said from their perspective, you see that. You understand that. So, empathy does not necessarily mean agreeing. Don't preach. We don't want people preaching at us, do we? You know, doesn't help. Now, let's look at the process. They share or confess what is going on in their lives. That's part of the process. Okay? We listen. When we listen, they feel understood and they share more. When that happens, we understand better what they're trying to say. We show that we truly care, and now we can pray effectively for them. So by following that process, that's what allows us to do that. See, one of the basic needs of people is to be understood. When you listen to what people say, you learn about them. And you better understand, and you're in the position of being able to understand them better. It all comes from, but see, when we cut them off, when we jump in, we don't get this. They shut down. Or they get defensive. Now, being listened to makes people feel respected, valued, affirmed, loved, appreciated, understood. See, when we don't listen, we come across as being indifferent. We come across as putting ourselves first over their issue. If people do not feel cared for, they will climb up or stay superficial. So let me ask a question for you guys. Why is it so hard to listen? What makes it such a challenge?
Distractions?
Distractions?
Sometimes the other person's maybe not as interesting or intrigued to us.
Yeah?
Got stuff going on in our own head that we're thinking about at the same time they're trying to get us to think about what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Thinking about a response.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes it's a challenge. You know? You're right. Sometimes we got so many things going on. You know, our brain itself is in overload, and then someone else is putting some more in. You know? And yeah, sometimes we are busy thinking about the response. It's a challenge sometimes. But can you see when we're able to do it, how effective we can be in that conversation? No? Empathy. Okay? One of the things happens is we're looking at different situations, okay? A lot of times when we're listening, we make assumptions, don't we? We sort of fill in that gap. We sort of know what they're going to say, so we sort of fill it in. We don't have to, you know, especially have, you know, one of the things that's important is really understanding different people's speaking skills or speaking styles. All right? Because, for example, if we're a, let's get to the point, bottom line, I don't need all of the details, get me to the bottom line. And if I need more details, I'll ask for it. But if the person talking to us takes us detail by detail, step by step by step, sometimes we want to say, come on, get to the point. You know? But, you see, the thing is, or if we know what that person is going to say, or we think we know, the idea solution, though, is to listen with an open mind. I've been challenged with that. There's times where I think I know where the person's going, and when I just keep my mouth shut and let them go, they're off in another direction. You know? Being that this is a men's class, a men's group, I will say, men, this is one of the things that we fight with our wives. Women tend to have a tendency of telling us things in a lot more detail than we are used to. Guys, we just get to the point. Right? Most of us, you know?
But what we don't realize is many times there is no point. The whole point is the discussion.
But see, that's part of the listening too, because
exactly.
Because, for example, sometimes it's just their need to talk something through. It's not their need for us to fix it. It's not their need for us to tell them what to do. It's us for us to be quiet and let them discuss it. Bias. We let that person's outward appearance or opinion block you from truly hearing what they say. You know? We don't focus on any one thought or emotion that we have. You know, one of the examples that I use in my class a lot is I'll say, sometimes I have a bias against people 6'7" with pink polka dot hair. Okay? Now, so anytime that person approaches me, I'm like shut down. So what's going to happen? They can have something really important to say, but my bias gets in the way. And I don't hear it. But if I open my ears, tone it down, then sometimes it's really something important that comes out. So our own personal bias can get in the way. Control. Sometimes we feel a need to interrupt, rush, or correct what that person is saying. Solution. Listen with your heart as well as your ears. Remembering the importance of the relationship. Maintain a relaxed, non-hurried posture. Okay? Again, we stay relaxed. They're going to be more willing to share. And the thing is here, what I want to reinforce is the more relaxed we stay, and the more we create a good listening environment, they're going to be comfortable sharing with us. And you see, you know, this is a men's group, and they're talking about listening for men and for mentoring. But these are tools that can help us in our personal lives, in our professional lives, at work. You know? I can see you're in Stephen's ministry. Man, you know, this is something that you probably see all the time. So that it's important. Distractions. We lose attention to speed because we think faster than they speak. You know, that's one of the problems. Like, either one, like me, a lot of times when I'm presenting, I talk slower. Why? Because there's times where I stutter. So if I slow down and think it through, I don't do that. But see, sometimes what that creates is a person, they're like three steps ahead. They're like, come on, hurry up. But there's the flip side too. How about that person who talks so fast that you're not keeping up with them? And you're like, whoa, partner, slow down.
Yeah, you know? Like, how much of this do you really want me to get?
Yeah.
Like, am I supposed to just sit here
just
and let you word. Just bring it on, or am I supposed to really get what you're talking about?
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah.
High pressure fire, all those things. Don't even bring a recorder, you know?
Exactly. So there's both ends of the perspective, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. Solution, stay in a moment. Hang on to every word. Refrain from planning what you will say. Maintain eye contact, which will help you keep focused on the person and communicate that you're with them. See, one of the things when it comes to distractions too, there's environmental distractions also. You know, if we're going to have a serious conversation with someone, sometimes sitting in Starbucks at 1 o'clock in the afternoon or at 12:30 is not the best place to have that. Because there's so much activity going on. But sometimes when we think about listening, we have to prepare ourselves to listen too. For example, say we love old cars. And we're sitting in that Starbucks and we're sitting facing the window. And there's an old car show going on outside. We're going to be distracted looking at those cars. And drop and miss things. Or, from a physiological standpoint, say we have one ear that we hear better than the other. So what do we have to do? We have to position ourselves to get the best possible audio. So we have to think it through too. Ego. We put our own need to be the focus of the attention before that other person. Yeah, there's times where the ego gets in the way, you know. Work at respecting and valuing that other person. Learn to love your neighbor as yourself. Think about the person where you're talking to them about something and they take the conversation and go, yeah, I didn't know what you mean. And they start on either one-upping you or start on their situation. Wait a minute, I'm talking. You don't need their example. You know? So that's what happens too. Some good techniques. Probably one of the most impactful communication tools we have. Silence. Man, silence screams. Sometimes it's important to just stay silent. Ecclesiastes 3:7 says, there's a time to keep silent and a time to speak. Proverbs 17:28, even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, it's considered perceptive. Sometimes that's what it means. We just keep our mouth shut. Sweet words taste better. You know, there was a Tony Evans tells a story about this member of his church after the sermon one day and comes up to him and says, Reverend, I have a problem. I need to put my tongue on the altar, because you know sometimes it's pretty wicked. And Tony Evans says he looked at her and said, you know what, our altar is not that big. know? The fact is this. We can hurt. That tongue could be wicked. So the whole idea is, but again, we're going to be more productive by being positive, encouraging, than putting people down. Again, what does that do? That builds that wall. Get the full story. Carefully listening will save the consequences of forming rash judgments. Proverbs 18:13. He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is a folly and a shame to him. That's that jumping in, cutting off. Encouraging. Listening helps us fulfill the spirit of what Christ desires in our relationship. See, this is the thing. The Bible tells us what to do. Listening is an important part of the Bible. Active listening requires the development of personal qualities like desire. You know, you have to have a desire to listen and listen well. It's not something, I mean, you have to work at that. You have to be interested in doing it. Commitment. You have to be committed to it. You want a person committed to it. You have to be patient. Man, sometimes really doing this takes a lot of patience, doesn't it? It tests our patience. You see, in, you know, a couple years ago, one night, my daughter was here. And she has this tendency of, because she knows that I'm up late, she has this tendency of coming out late and just talking to me. You know, this is when she decides she wants to have important conversations. But one night she came out of her room and she was just, I don't know what was with her that night. She was just talking about all sort of music and all sort of things that, to be blunt, I had no interest in. You know, didn't really want to get into. I was tired. And she was just talking and talking. And, I mean, she was just rushing. I don't even think she was able to breathe. But in the middle of this, she was talking about this and this and this. And then all of a sudden she said, oh, you know, I left my phone out in the room. And in the room, and I guess I better go get it because my friend's texting me because she started cutting it again, and I'm trying to talk her through, but I don't know. But we're both really liking this music group, and that's what started this whole thing. I'm like, whoa, stop. Rewind. What did you just say? You have a friend that's starting to cut again? Now, the fact is, if I follow my natural tendency and tuned her out, I could have missed something very important. But by working and being patient and forcing myself to stay in the conversation, I was able to hear that. And then I was able to say, back up. Let's talk about this. What's going on? Why are you in the middle of this versus her parents? So the fact is, it really, yes, it takes patience sometimes. But it's important for us to do. Mark 4:9, the Lord warns, whoever has ears to hear had better listen. 27, anyone has ears to hear had better listen. Not 27, 23, sorry.
God bless you. God bless you.
Bless you. Seven times. And once in the letter to seven churches in Revelations 2 and 3, we read, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. So it's reinforced throughout. Important to listen. Proverbs, spouting off before listening is a fact. To the facts is both shameful and foolish. Proverbs 18:2. Solomon offers a direct, open evaluation of those who'd rather talk than listen. Fool finds no pleasure in understanding, but delights in his own opinions. Man, you know, strikes home sometimes, doesn't it? James, my dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. See, it just, you know. But let's talk about some fairly common poor listening habits. Selective listening. This is the one, guys, we're always accused of, you know. Or spotless listening. If you respond to some parts of the message and ignores others, typically you have selectively listened to the parts of the message that interest you.
Instead of what the other person is really trying to talk to you about.
Yeah.
You know, what I've done, in, you know, I've been in a management situation. I've had a lot of employees working for me.
Uh-huh.
And always there was somebody needing to talk to me, so my time was short. And so, you know, when people came in to talk to me to get my advice or for me to tell them what they should do, sometimes I've had to say, look, tell me what I'm supposed to listen for first. So that after you tell me all the stories, I've analyzed it so that I can give you the right answer at the end rather than surprising me with everything, you know,
yeah,
the question at the end, you know, so.
But, see, you bring up an excellent point. Because think about this. Professionally, when we start on entry-level position, see, listening has been one of the things that has been documented that will increase our opportunities for growth professionally too. Because think about this situation. Entry level, we're doers. We're the doers. And the further we go up the ladder, we spend less time doing and more time listening. And we have to listen to whether it be salespeople, whether it be our employees' problems, whether it be whatever. And we have to listen. We have to ask probing questions. We have to analyze. And then we have to make decisions. So the better we listen, the better our decisions will most likely be. And then as we make those good decisions, what's going to happen? Our boss is going to see, hey, this guy makes good decisions. Let's give him a little more responsibility. Because as we climb that ladder, we're not doing as much. We're in meetings. So that's something to understand.
Well, and to follow up with what you're saying there, my very recent former boss, because I just quit, okay, my very recent former boss was a horrible listener, and she was female. I mean, I'm just saying that, you know, typically women have are supposed to have a lot better listener than men do, okay, but not this lady. And she would, when I was trying to talk to her and tell her about what's going on, because I'm upper management, she would just, come on, hurry up, get to the end of the story. So it cut me off. Well, to her detriment, I quit talking to her. So she never knew what was going on in my department or what, you know, she should be knowing, because I didn't want to talk to her. You know, so you got things that they're going down, you're talking about here, encourages other people to tell you important things.
That's right.
And you don't know what's out there that you need to hear. So, being a good listener is your pipeline.
That's right. That's right. And it goes back to the very, very beginning. The better we listen, the more people are willing to talk to us. And the more people are willing to talk to us, the more we understand them. And the more we understand what's going on. And if you don't walk out with anything else, that's the key. That really is. Talkaholics are defined as compulsive talkers who hog the conversational stage and monopolize encounters. We've all had those people who just won't shut up. You know? Pseudo-listening involves pretending to listen. You know, we do all the right things. We nod our heads. We say, uh-huh. You know, we're smiling at the appropriate times. Man, we're not paying attention. It's called pseudo-listening. Gap fillers. Listeners who think they can correctly guess the rest of the story. You know, I don't need to hear the whole story. I got it down now. You know, gap fillers. Six easy steps. Okay? Attention, listen without interrupting, debate, or in judgment. Whoa. Here we go. Consideration. Listen to what they are saying. Listen to what they are not saying. Okay? See, one of the things I understand, okay, 80% of a conversation is nonverbal. Okay? I mean, you think about it. Have you ever been around someone who's like closed and pouty, and you say, "Hey, what's wrong?" And they go, "Nothing." No, come on, what's wrong? Nothing. But their body language is screaming. Something is wrong. So many cases, body language and nonverbals are actually more accurate than verbals. But that's another lesson in itself. The nonverbals. Body language. Give your complete attention to focus. Not only to the words, but to the physical reaction. See, again, you know where we talked about earlier, not reacting emotionally. If we tune people out, you know, if our body language, you know, someone says something, you know, our eyes get big and we're like showing signs of shock, that person's going to shut down. Or, you know, we're so laid back, we seem disinterested in what that person has to say. What's the position we're going to take? He doesn't care. Why should I talk to him? Reflection. One of the things that it's a good technique to learn is when they finish speaking, reflect back what you heard. See, because what that does is that, A, gives them the opportunity to get, yeah, he got it. He heard it. But also, it gives us the opportunity, it gives them the opportunity, you know, to say, oh, no, that's not what I meant. That's not what I'm saying. It's this, this, and this. So they give the opportunity to correct it, so before you respond, you can respond accurately by reflecting back. Respect. Effective listening is a matter of respect. Do you respect the person communicating with you? If so, you know, show them. Show them that courtesy. Discipline. Discipline of stillness. Have you ever been talking to someone who's so fidgety, it's distracting? You know? So sometimes it's important to work at being still. So brothers, you know, when we talk about listening, it's a skill. It's something we have to work at. For most of us, it's not something that just happens naturally. We have to work at it. We're challenged by it. And I will go on record. Today, technology challenges us more than ever in being good listeners. You know? Take us back up to the top. How many times have we been around that person who's, you know, staring at their phone, texting, and they're like, I can hear you. I can hear you. I'm with you. Even if they are, do you really feel like they're paying attention? No. So part of it is creating a good atmosphere that they're important. Any questions I can answer? We've got a couple minutes. I know I threw a lot of stuff out pretty quickly.
Can you elaborate on this?
Yes. That is a brochure for Generation to Generation. That is the men's mentoring ministry. Actually, this came out of part of the orientation for Generation to Generation. It is a one-on-one ministry here. There's an application process, and then there is a orientation, and then you're matched with a, you know, whether it be you're a mentor or a mentee, you're matched. So that's how that works.
Is there a need?
Oh yeah. There's a definite need. Yes. Surprising. Thank you for asking. Anyone else? Questions? Let me pray us all live here. But I tell you what, you look like the youngest guy here, so you can get a reward for
whatever it is, yeah.
For, you know, starting young, learning listening skills.
Yeah. Get a good listening skill, that's right.
For starting young.
Oh boy.
Heavenly and gracious Father, we just want to thank you. Thank you for this group. Thank you for the lessons. Thank you for just this day and this evening. Father, we pray that these men have been able to receive some good information through the sessions tonight. Father, we pray that they will take this information and be able to use it in both leadership here in the church and plus leadership in their professions and, if necessary, leadership at home. Father, we just pray for safe travels home. There's a lot of the speakers here who have traveled great distances. So Father, we just want to pray for their safe travels. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So I think the finals is in the back into the
CLC.
Yeah.
Or whatever it's called now.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
Gentlemen, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate you coming out.